former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
What's going on, everybody? Happy Thursday as we welcome you into the Lombardi Line presented by DraftKings alongside former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Stormy Bonantoni with you. We're coming to you from coast to coast as always. Michael out there in New Jersey. I'm here in downtown Las Vegas, Circa Resort and Casino. Coming up in about 30 minutes, we'll have the one and only Mike Somich in his usual Thursday spot. In an hour or two, excited to have Kirk Morrison join the program, former NFL linebacker, get into some of the conversation topics we discussed yesterday with the potential changes in offseason program, 18 games, all of that fun stuff, Michael. But good morning or good afternoon to you on your side of the world. How are we doing today?
We're good, Stormy. We are doing really well. We feel like we have better weather now, so that's good. Always good. And, you know, we've got NBA basketball tonight, which is fun. I mean, we have hockey going at full vore. We got the Rangers tonight. I mean, how about the Edmonton Oilers coming back from 2-0 and winning that one 5-2 last night? I'm sure you paid close attention to that. And there's plenty of football to talk about. Life is good.
Yes, life is good. And speaking of plenty of football to talk about, we got some big news today, which it's funny we talk so much the off season about how, things are going to be slow. We're not going to have stuff to talk about. Every single day, there is something. And today we found out Jaylen Waddle and the Dolphins have agreed to a 3-year, $84.75 million extension that includes $76 million in guaranteed cash. The deal makes Waddle now one of the top five highest paid wide receivers in the league. So the Dolphins now have an expensive wide receiver room with two of the top five when you throw Tyreek Hill in the mix as well. And so I think the big question naturally coming off of this contract, Michael, is do they have a quarterback that can get them over the top? And how much are you going to commit to Tua financially next?
I think that's the real question, right? And I think Tua's going to stand there. He hasn't done a deal yet. Look, if this deal was going to be $40 million and Tua agreed to it, it would have been done by now. So this tells me the longer it goes, it's getting closer to the Jared Goff deal. It could be above Joe Burrow. And if they do that, they're not watching the same game I'm watching, because I agree with paying Tyreek Hill what his number is, second highest paid receiver in the league now since A.J. Brown got his deal redone. And paying Waddle, I agree with as well, because 80% of the offense goes through those two players. You know, without those two elite receivers, it's very challenging for Tua to be effective. I mean, you go back to the Philly game. You know, when Philly beat them, 31-17, and I think their defense scored a touchdown, the Miami defense did, Philly shut them down. And you say, well, how could Philly have shut them down? Well, Philly was good up front. They knew how to play them. They knew where the ball was going to go. It was an RPO game. That's what Tua effectively runs. And so if they pay Tua $55 million and they have these two receivers eating up basically 12% of their cap and Tua's eating up 20% of their cap, where's the rest of their team fit in? How does this all work? I mean, the trend has been going the other way. Like I said this on the podcast today, Stormy, if you called Minnesota up and you offered them a substantial package for Justin Jefferson, they would say yes. They would say yes, because this is getting up to $34, $33, $35 million, and I'm not sure there's tolerance for that. Now, if you want to pay $24 million like they paid Waddle, okay, that's fine. Probably you can only afford one of those, but now they have two. It's going to be really fascinating how they work this around, and if Tua takes the $50-plus million, oh boy.
Yeah, and that's what we all anticipate to have happen, right? Which is why you had to move on from a guy like Christian Wilkins on the defensive end, and you're letting other areas of your team suffer because you have to pay a guy like Tua Tagovailoa. And the expectations are certainly there for Miami to take another step under Mike McDaniel. Win total set at 9.5. They're an odds on -155 price to make the playoffs. Interesting as far as the division odds go, though, because of all the love that the Jets have gotten and the Bills having won 4 straight division titles, that Miami's actually third on the odds board. And it is congested at the top there, but 2-1, they're third in the division.
Yeah, well, and for good reason. I mean, there's a lot of moving parts in Miami. First of all, starting with Anthony Weaver, good coach, defensive line coach most of his career, been a coordinator one time down in Houston. That wasn't great, but he comes in and takes over for Vic Fangio. So there's a little bit of a there. What's their corner situation going to look like, right? Xavier Howard still counts $25 million on their cap. Like, it cost them a lot of money to cut him, and they didn't want to bring him back. And then, you know, Jalen Phillips is coming off a knee injury. So is Bradley Chubb. They lost Van Ginkle, who was a good player for them last year. They lose their right guard, Robert Hunt. Whether he was a good player or not remains to be seen, but still, the offensive line. And then they're counting on Teron Armstead, who's a good player, but he doesn't play very much. So, you know, I think it's a challenge. Now, can Patrick Paul, who they drafted in the second round out of Houston, step in at left tackle? We'll see. Can Chop Robinson give them that pass rusher that they drafted from Penn State to fill in for Phillips and to fill in for Chubb as they get healthy? We shall see. But, look, the one thing I think that's the underlying factor of the Miami Dolphins is they are limited by what they do offensively, and teams – that understand what they do. This is why they don't beat good teams or good coordinators. Is they're not easy to stop. It's hard, don't get me wrong. But the offense runs through those receivers.
Another deal came through the last 24 hours as well. How about the 49ers signing their wide receiver? Oh, did you think I meant Brandon Ayuk? No, sir. Juwan Jennings, he gets a two-year contract worth $10.5 million guaranteed. Of course, more with incentives and other things built in there. And, you know, it's something that they had to get done, right? These little things they do. He was a restricted free agent. They want to make sure that they have some backfield talent. He's one of those guys that does everything right, did make a couple of key plays in the playoff run last year, but still raises the question about the other priorities in the wide receiver room moving forward.
Well, I mean, look, the 49ers and the Bengals are in similar situations, Stormy. Both of them have two really good receivers, and they can't pay both of them. Unlike Miami, who decided to pay both of them, this team, San Francisco and Cincinnati, are saying, look, we'll have one in the 20s. We can't have two. This shows you the power of how much they know they need the receivers in Miami. So they draft Pearsall in the first round. They draft Jacob Cowling in the fourth round. That gives them two young players to work with as they sort through next season, whether they extend Ayuk, who's under contract on an option deal, or whether they trade Debo. Now, Debo's unique in the sense that Debo's a running back who plays wide receiver, and he's extremely talented. But Ayuk gives them something they haven't had, which is an outside receiver. So Jennings, who has come in and played very well for them, and Pearsall and Cowling are their security blanket for what this team will look like in 25. This is about 25, not 24. Because 24, I'm sure they want to play it. There was a lot of conversations around the draft that Pittsburgh was going to trade for. I don't know, was it Ayuk? Was it Samuel? I'm not sure which one. But Pittsburgh felt like they had that deal. Mm-hmm. And then it fell apart. Why? I don't know. But I think San Francisco's belief is, can we get through this year where we are? We've got some young players to fill in and see where that takes us.
Yeah, and that is my expectation, that we'll see everybody out there on the field this year, and then they'll reevaluate next season, because you can't make it work and pay all of those guys at once. So who will they ultimately move on from is the question. But the 49ers, second shortest shot in the NFL to win the Super Bowl this year, win total set at 11.5. Okay, we've got a couple fun news or noise items that we're going to sprinkle throughout the show, but let's run that open for the heck of it anyways. Let's go.
News. Corleone is a man who insists on hearing bad news immediately.
Or just noise.
Are you going to act like this is news?
Just noise. This is noise.
Let's separate the impactful from the insignificant with one simple question. News or noise?
And again, since we have a few of these, we'll mix them in throughout the show. But to get us started here, there was video of Aaron Rodgers circulating yesterday, Michael, of him sitting on the side of the practice field, taking off his cleats and getting treatment on his feet, thus stirring concern already amongst Jets fans and bettors. But according to reports, he did come back out on the field and did everything else without issue. As an executive, you see an older player coming off an Achilles injury, in a red shirt, dealing with a potential treatment over there on the sideline. Like, how does that make you feel? Is it news or noise that we saw Rodgers on the sideline yesterday?
Well, I think it's not new. I don't think it's either. It's not news or noise. I think it's just reality, right? You're 41. Your body breaks down. Everything hurts. I mean, look, my body hurts, and I don't have to play football, and I'm old, right? And when my grandkids are at the house, all five of them, my body really hurts because I have to do a lot more. Not that Millie would say I do anything, but I have to do a little bit more. So, like, this is just reality of age, right? I mean, this is just what it is. And we're going to have this all the time. He's going to be sore. Like, this isn't just turn on a light and say, okay. It's going to require a lot of maintenance, a lot of treatments, a lot of massages for him to feel really good on Sunday. And look, this is without any contact. So I don't say it's news or noise. I say it's reality.
Well, we knew that Aaron Rodgers was old. Apparently, Quinn and Williams just found out. Listen to this.
This is going to be Aaron's 20th year. Could you
20 years?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. Aaron, 20 years in the NFL?
Yeah.
Man. Ain't that running back, the number zero, is 20 years old?
Yeah.
So he been in the NFL as long as he been alive. That's crazy, huh? I got a joke with him about that.
How good is that? And yeah, number zero, Braylon Allen was born in 2004. So 20 years. There we go.
You can't get anything past Quinton Williams. I mean, not only does he dominate the line of scrimmage in the run game and the passing game, you know, he's right in tune. I mean, look, that time flies, right? 20 years it's been. But that's the reality. And so if you're Joe Douglas and you're Woody Johnson and you're the great Robert Saleh, who I hear reliably reported to me that he's intimately involved with the offense this year. Mm. Got that news yesterday. Meant to put that out there. We'll see how that goes. Can't you wait to see Robert calling plays? Huh? Maybe he's the overseer to Nathaniel Hackett.
We'll have to dive into that a little deeper at another point, because it is interesting that he's been poking his head and he's more involved, and that can have the... You asked yesterday on the show, what does Robert Saleh do? So maybe now we have an answer. Win total for the Jets.
That's how I got my answer. I was Sherlock Holmes. I was asking. I kind of got it. I was so happy.
Apparently. Win total for the Jets, 9.5. They're plus 190 in the AFC East. And again, I just love that from Quinn and Williams. Like, not only did he sneeze at one point, thank himself and bless himself on national television, but now the 20-year-old Mark here, he is just a soundbite gem. We're just getting started here on the Lombardi Line. When we come back, no team in NFL history has won 3 straight Super Bowls. Why it's so hard to stay on top.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
In addition to watching and listening to VSiN, don't forget about all the betting tools and content at VSiN.com. Best bets from all of our show hosts and guests, betting splits, pro tips and trends. And right now on the homepage, our own Michael Lombardi's latest column, Can the Kansas City Chiefs three-peat? He's breaking down why none of the league's greats in the past have been able to accomplish the feat and what it would take for the Chiefs just to get back to the top of the mountain, let alone make history. Don't miss out. Head to VSiN.com, your one-stop shop for all things sports betting. Alongside Michael Lombardi, Stormy Bonantoni with you as we welcome you back into this Thursday edition of the Lombardi Line. Let's go down that road with these Kansas City Chiefs, Michael, because they win the Super Bowl 2 years ago, and they come out last season hot and cold. The wide receiver room, again, there were a lot of questions about. And then things just slowly, the back end of the season, after that Christmas Day game, seemed to work out for Kansas City. Like, every time you doubt this team, they find a way to rise above.
Mm-hmm.
What made you write this article yesterday, and what made you ask the question about the Chiefs' potential to three-peat?
Well, you know, when you listen to Brady talk about it and then you go through it, when Brady said how hard it is to win two, I said, well, I went through all the Super Bowl teams and figured out who won. Bob Greasy, Bart Starr, John Elway, you know, Troy Aikman, Tom Brady, and then Patrick Mahomes. And you realize how many didn't, how many were one and done. Aaron Rodgers won one. We talk about Aaron Rodgers like he's won eight. Peyton Manning's won two Super Bowls for two different teams. They couldn't put together any streaks. So you realize how hard it is, right? No matter, and everybody thinks it's just about the quarterback. And then what I listened to what Brady was saying, I think we missed the most important element was the quarterback played really well. And the 1 year Brady Luke gets hurt, that was an exception. But usually teams that don't repeat, it isn't because the quarterback had a bad year. They don't have bad years. Peyton Manning doesn't have a bad year. It's some other part of their team isn't as good as it was the year before. And that's the case in point which led me to the Chiefs. Are they going to be, and this is the question we have to answer, are they going to be as good defensively as they were last year? See, everybody focuses on Mahomes and Kelce, and of course they're great. But what made their team so good was their defense. Remember, this is a team that only threw the ball 3 times for over 300 yards all year. 3 times. They only scored over 30 points 1 time. I mean, this wasn't a team that was explosive offensively, dominating the league. It was, however, a defense that gave up the fewest big plays of any team in the league. It was a defense that was in the top five in scoring defense. It was a defense that created pressure and turnover. And so are they going to be as good defensively without Snead, without some other key players on their team that I think is going to be the reason can they win? And that's what led me down the road.
And that ultimately ended up being the story of the Chiefs last year, right? And I think it's a great point because their quarterback is Patrick Mahomes and the star power that he and Travis Kelce and Andy Reid have all had together over the course of the last handful of years. The offense gets all the attention, but we talked consistently last year about how they are winning games because of their defense. Their defense has carried the way for them this year. They've had to win in different ways. They do still obviously have Chris Jones. They still have Spags leading the way as their defensive coordinator. And so we'll see what they're able to put together. But it's a very point well taken, especially when you look at the schedule. And the Kansas City Chiefs, we talked about it when the schedule was released the other day, that this they have to play on every day of the week except for Tuesday. They have tough situations throughout the course of their schedule where they've got four straight games against opponents with win totals of over 9.5. They have a Christmas Day game on a short week on the road. There are some schedule spots on here that are very tricky, as well as all of the other items you've already pointed out.
Yeah, and look, you know, there's going to be a little bit of a continuity. You have to carry it over. Are they going to be as fortunate as they were last year, right? I think to me, when you look at some of those games, and they're tremendous, and Mahomes' ability to extend plays, make a second play off the first play when it doesn't work, but their roster, I don't see their roster as you're like, whoa, they have no holes. Like, you look at Philadelphia's roster, and if you're honest with yourself, as you said, the Phillies roster doesn't have any real holes. Now, they've got to get the Mitchell, the corner who they drafted, to play well. DeJean's got to play well, the rookie they drafted. But for the most part, you look at Philly's roster, you say, there's no holes. You look at Kansas City's roster, on the other hand, you say, wait a minute, who's the left tackle? Mm-hmm. Who's the starting outside corner? We know that McDuffie's a really good slot corner, but who's the outside corner? Right? Who's going to be able to complement Chris Jones? Is Chris Jones going to be as good a player as we thought he was last year now that he got paid and rewarded? There's always that question. So I just think there's more questions with the team. And then what is their motivate? What is their aptitude to want to be great? I think one of the keys to their team is their kicker, Buckner, because he's missed two kicks all year. They were in a lot of low-scoring games. Nobody wants to see this. I mean, how many times did we come on Monday and talk about the Chiefs and the under, right? Yeah. I mean, how many times did we talk about that? You know, they beat Denver 19-8. You know, they beat Buffalo 20-17. You know, they beat the Raiders the first, you know, they lose to the Raiders 20-4. They scored four. I mean, there were a lot of times where they didn't hold people to point. They kept people's point total way down. And their kicker made, I think he made 35 kicks, only missed two, and both of those were inside of 40 yards.
Yeah, that their offense, we'd see like first quarter, first half scoring production, but then like shut out in the second half, shut out in the fourth quarter a number of times that kept that scoring down low. Win total for this year set at 11.5. They are the favorite to three-peat and to win another Super Bowl this year, which because of all the things that you mentioned did surprise me a little bit. Initially, when this market opened for the Super Bowl next year, it was the San Francisco 49ers who are favored. They're the second shortest shot. The prices are close, but it was interesting to me that Kansas City did take money to make history and be in that position again, despite other teams rising up. And the Kansas City Chiefs were not the best team in the regular season last year. That was the Baltimore Ravens, right? So with that in mind, and we put a poll question out on your Twitter, or X, formerly known as Twitter, at M. Lombardi NFL. So those of you listening, watching, get in there, make your vote known. But we put out a poll question for who is going to be the biggest threat to Kansas City's chance of three-peating. We put the 49ers, Ravens, Bengals, and Bills up there. Jump in the comments if you think it's the Eagles or somebody else, or we left out a true contender. But right now, 35% of the vote say it's the San Francisco 49ers and the Cincinnati Bengals behind them. The Ravens actually third of the four in the voting where things sit right now.
Yeah, I mean, look, you have to think the Bengals are going to be there, because the Bengals, remember now, the other thing I talked about in my column, too, was the fact that over the last 10 years, from 2014 to 2024, right? It's been the Chiefs and the Patriots. The Chiefs have won 3 Super Bowls. The Patriots have won 3. The Chiefs and the Patriots both have lost conference championship games. The Chiefs and the Patriots both have lost a Super Bowl, right? So they've been right there on the cusp. They've been right there. And the one team that's also been right there is Cincinnati when Joe Burrow is healthy. And Buffalo, you know, this is what makes it so astounding that Buffalo would trade Worthy to the Chiefs when that's the team they got to beat. Like, why wouldn't they trade them to the Patriots? They had a chance too, and they turned it down. So I just think, to me, that you're going to have a hard time eliminating the ability of the Chiefs if they're in this hunt, right? Yeah. They're veteran, have great leadership, but injuries play a huge factor also.
The Chiefs are plus 300 to win the AFC and make the Super Bowl, plus 550 to win it all, followed by the 49ers 6-1, Ravens 9-1, Lions and Bills 12-1. It's funny already going through the comments, and we'll revisit this topic again a little bit later, but going through the comments here, Jeremy Beckham writes, the only team who consistently beats the Chiefs, the Bengals, who you just referenced. One guy's heartbroken that the Bills are an option over the Eagles. And this comment from Jim Schylander, given everything that's happened this offseason, the biggest threat to the Chiefs' chances at a three-peat is the Chiefs, given everything that's happened this offseason, which, you know, not 100% wrong there. They've had a lot of off-field issues that have come to the forefront from various players in various areas.
No question. And I think that's also always the case, because what is your motivation to be great? What is your desire to run the hill, to do all the things you need to do after you've been content? Contentment is the hardest thing any coach has to overcome. We see it in college. We see it in pro. Once you've climbed the mountain, it's hard to climb it again because you know what it takes to climb it. And one thing with Mahomes, he'll rally the forces around it. But, you know, look, Kelsey's no spring chicken. That offensive line, no left tackle. There's still things you have to worry about.
Keep these votes coming. Again, at M. Lombardi NFL, we'll revisit this topic a little bit later and see if the tides swing, at least the 49ers right now in the lead to be the biggest contender there against Kansas City. On the other side of the break, VSiN host and professional handicapper Mike Somich is going to join us live. He's got action in tonight's NBA and NHL postseason, why he likes the Florida Panthers to pull ahead in the NHL's Eastern Conference Final tonight. We'll be right back.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
For a limited time, we here at the Lombardi Line are slashing the price of our VSiN Pro annual subscription. Normally $240, you can now get a subscription for just $199 when you use our promo code Lombardi. Plus, if you sign up today, we're throwing in an extra 2 months for free. So that's 14 months of VSiN Pro access, less than 50 cents a day. And all you need to do is use our code Lombardi. Hurry up, though. This special offer is only available until tomorrow. With VSiN Pro, you'll get immediate access to our daily best bets, complete with a leaderboard showcasing all of our VSiN experts who have the hot hand, betting splits that reveal where the money and bets are trending for every game, exclusive betting systems, premium analysis, 24/7 video access, and more. But remember, this offer expires May 31st. Visit VSiN.com/subscribe now and grab your 14 months of VSiN Pro for just $199 and use that promo code Lombardi. This is the Lombardi Line alongside Michael Lombardi. Stormy Bonantoni with you as we welcome in on the Progressive Guest Line, great friend of the show, Mike Somich, VSiN, host of The Handle every Saturday and Sunday. And I got to give you some props here, Mike, because last Friday, Michael, obviously you're off on Fridays, Somich was filling in on the show, and we put him to the test at the very end of the program with, can he cap it? Because those who don't know, he's our resident horse racing expert. Come 4th of July, hot dog eating contest. He's on the phone. He's got a guy. He can cap anything. You cashed 2 of 3 of the events that have already gone through that are like random as all get out, by the way. It was like the Street League, Street League skateboarding. We had Gaelic hurling, and there's still one more to come in the Overwatch Championship tomorrow. And I am waiting with bated breath, Somich. Congratulations and well done.
Thank you very much. Yeah, it was fun. It was fun to kind of go back to the roots and go back to how you build from the ground up when you're handicapping something. It was nice to cash the skateboarding one. It was the one I was the least confident in. Got a nice little plus 180 home. And now we've got Team Falcons left here in the Overwatch Championship this weekend. I know, Michael Lombardi, you're going to be locked in to that Overwatch 2 final, aren't you?
Yeah, what channel is that on? I don't know if I get that on streaming. I mean, do I get that? I'll have to stop watching the JFK
documentary. You have all the subscriptions now with the NFL, Michael. You have all the subscriptions now with the NFL. You should have it covered.
I do. I have the YouTube DirecTV. I have Netflix. I know, but we all have them anyway. We don't even at the NFL's to me not an add-on. I think I have them anyway.
Well, I'll send you the Twitch link, Michael, so you can watch it live.
Thank you. Yeah,
beautiful.
I watch it on X. Sure, why not?
Classic.
Absolutely. Thank you, Mike. I appreciate it.
Let's start off here, Mike, with a little hockey talk for those that are dialed into the NHL postseason. Last night, heck of a game in Oilers Stars, because you see Dallas go up 2-0 with like 5 minutes into the game, which I know you love those first period unders. I hope that you didn't have it yesterday. But the Oilers go on to score 5 straight goals after that. They win 5-2. RIP anybody as well that had a Connor McDavid anytime goal, because it's just a brutal beat with Ottinger's stick laying there in the crease. Where do you sit on this series right now, tied at 2?
This series has just been a conundrum. I like Dallas. I liked Dallas before the series. I bet Dallas again after they lost game one in the series. I was loving being up 2-1. We see Dallas come out in the first period, dominate early, get that early 2-goal lead, like you said, Stormy. And then it just kind of unraveled. We also had Chris Tanev leave the game, which is a huge loss for them. One of their main acquisitions at the trade deadline to add a top end defenseman to this lineup. So we'll see if he's able to go in game five now. I still like Dallas. But this series, I'm not as confident in as I was earlier in it when Dallas, I expected to just be able to control the play, but we've seen stretches where Edmonton's speed has really caused trouble for Dallas. Because if you watch the other series, and we'll talk about it in a second, we've seen Florida be able to hem the Rangers into their own zone. I expected Dallas to be able to do something very similar with their forecheck, and they just have not gotten the zone time that I've expected in this game, in the series. And when they don't have that zone time, The counter from Edmonton has been very effective, getting out on 3-on-2 odd man rushes, 4-on-2 odd man rushes, getting quality chances off it, and then creating zone time off of that. So been impressed with how Edmonton's played. I still haven't seen the Dallas team that was against Colorado, and that's the team I'm waiting to see, because if that Dallas Stars team shows up, they are better than this Oilers team. But we haven't gotten that version of Dallas yet, which is a little bit concerning to me.
How about the Rangers? Now, I know that it's been an overtime series, and I've been obsessed with this. I think that now I'm going to try this one, but I think this guy, like, he's really impressive to watch skate. Alex Lafreniere, I mean, I thought he was, like, I read an article about him today. Did you like that, Stormy? Was that, how bad was that, Stormy? Did I get it right or wrong?
Alexi Lafreniere, very close, yeah. Very close.
I was close. I was practicing all morning in the shower. Anyway, you like the Panthers, though, right? You like the Panthers at minus 125?
I can't give any
love to the Rangers here?
No, I can't, Michael. Alexi Lafreniere has been phenomenal in this series. He was a number one overall pick, one of the more hyped guys coming through the draft the last 5 years, and didn't pan out early in his career. But what he has done in this playoff series, I thought, has been absolutely phenomenal. Been one of the few Rangers that's been really able to step up. But I've watched every game of this series, every minute of this series. I'm really intrigued by it simply because of Igor Shesterkin and whether or not he's going to be able to single-handedly push the Rangers over this hump and get them to the Stanley Cup Finals. This has been a series the Panthers have dominated the play consistently in every single game. It could easily be over right now. It could be 4-0 Panthers. We've seen them have massive shot advantages, massive time in the offensive zone advantages against the Rangers over all four of these games, and yet Shesterkin stood on his head. 3 of the 4 gone to overtime. We're sitting here at 2-2, going back to the Garden for game 5. I can't bet against the Panthers at this price, simply because they are going to control the play again today. The question is that going to translate into a victory or not? And we saw in the 5-4 Rangers victory, they were able to really be opportunistic, right? They only had a couple chances, but they were able to score. Lafreniere made 2 phenomenal plays to be able to get a goal for them. We'll see if they're able to make those same opportunistic plays today against the Panthers. But I can't bet on the Rangers when my eyes tell me the Panthers are just exponentially better. It's whether or not they get pucks by Shesterkin. So took the minus 125 with the Panthers. I also played the Panthers in the second period. Right now, if you go over to DraftKings.com, you can find a 3-way money line for the second period. So Panthers, draw, and Rangers. Panthers are plus 165 in the second period. That of any period to me is the edge where the Panthers have the most. It's simply because when you watch hockey, the change for the opponents is different each period. And the second period is the long change. So your bench is as far away from your defensive net as possible. That means that you can really get hemmed in your zone for extended periods of time. We watched in game four, the Panthers had 5-6 minutes of offensive zone pressure on the Rangers, won the second period 2-0. That long change is a huge advantage for Florida. So let's try and take advantage of it and play the Panthers plus 165. To win the second period.
Yeah, love those plus money prices. And as Michael mentioned off the top when we were discussing this series, it has been three straight overtime games, plus 265 if anyone out there thinks we could get overtime yet again. Let's go to the NBA tonight. Game five in the Western Conference Final. Timberwolves laying 4.5 with the series going back to Minnesota. So you're getting plus points here on a Mavs team that's up 3-1, total 209.5. Are you a believer that what we saw from Karl Anthony Towns was real? Or are we going to revert back to the version that we've seen throughout this series?
Man, that's the million-dollar question. I mean, Karl Anthony Towns can't be the seventh best player on the floor in Minnesota to be able to win. He has got to be the third or fourth best player on the floor if they're going to be able to win the basketball game. If I was betting Minnesota, I would just rather bet Karl Anthony Towns' points prop over, because I don't see a world where he doesn't go over his points prop and they cover the 4.5. There's a lot of different ways that he can go over that, and they don't cover the 4.5, however. So to me, if I'm ever betting the Timberwolves, I'd rather just bet the Karl Anthony Towns over point prop. But I don't want to bet the Timberwolves. I want to bet the Mavs here. I think they are the better basketball team. Isaiah Likely now upgraded to questionable for this game. He is a huge addition. If they get him back, I love the 4.5. I want to make sure I bet it before we get the official announcement. We've seen the player points props be taken down on DraftKings as we wait for more information around it. So we'll see what happens there. But to me, this Mavs is a better basketball team, and I don't trust Karl Anthony Towns. If I had to pick, is he going to have a good game or bad game? I'm leaning bad game about 75-80% of the time. And if that's the case, the Mavericks are able to get the job done here, catching the 4.5. Don't hate them plus 180 on the money line either.
You know, I agree. I think it's so much about the physicality of the game, and when it becomes really physical, I'm not sure Cat is going to respond. Can he do it two nights in a row? That's what worries me. I'm with you. To me, he had a great game. You know, he's 4 or 5 from the three-point line. He did all the things, but doing it twice and then counting on Luka and Kyrie to shoot 33% from the field the next game, I'm not so sure of that one either. You got a baseball play for us, too, with the Mariners.
I do. Give me the Mariners here. We're going to lay the half run in the first five innings. Love the pitching matchup here. Houston's got Agregetti going. I'm not a big fan of him. This is a Houston team that's underachieved throughout the year. The Mariners, on the other hand, won last night, created some momentum for themselves, having an edge on the mound. You get plus money right now laying the half run in the first five with the Mariners. So we're going Mariners plus 105, first five innings, laying that half run.
Also, Mike, it just registered with me. I know you meant Derek Lively. You said Isaiah Likely, which just means you fit so well into this show because we are all NFL all the time.
I'm ready for the NFL season. Question. I'm excited to see what Baltimore does with Andrews and with Likely. So my bad. We're ready for Baltimore football, though. Let's go.
We are ready. All about it. Mike Somich, you're amazing. Thank you so much for the time. And, hey, good luck with the Overwatch Championship tomorrow. Go Falcons.
Let's go Team Falcons, baby.
Good stuff. Another plus money price, by the way, there, plus 130. Can he cap it? Yes, he can. Follow Mike Somich on X at SamaBomb18. And, of course, check out the handle on VSiN and DraftKings Network every Saturday and Sunday. We're going to step aside. When we come back, we continue our Buy or Beware series, Head Coach Edition. Why these contenders have coaches who could be on the hot seat should you buy or beware.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
We're so close to crowning an NBA champ, and with all the action heating up on the court, it's even hotter at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. New to DraftKings, listen up. New customers get a no-sweat bet up to $1,500. Just deposit at least $5, and you'll get a bonus bet back equal to your first bet if it doesn't hit. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use the code VSIN. That's V-S-I-N. DraftKings Sportsbook, the crown is yours. And speaking of hoops, Michael, real quickly, I'm in complete agreement with Mike Somich on this game five coming up tonight with the Mavericks. We talked about it yesterday on the show. I thought when it was at five, it was too many. We've seen a little bit of buyback now, but I still think 4.5 has me taking the Mavs all over it tonight.
And I'm with you. I thought game four was going to be the hardest game of the series for the Mavericks just because of the whole situation, you know, and knowing that they were going to get their best shot. But the Mavericks shoot 10% less than the Timberwolves do from the two-point line. And the Timberwolves had a great three-point shooting night, something that they didn't have. Now, they missed a bunch of free throws. I thought the game was called. I know the extender was at the game, Scott. He was there, Scott Foster. But to me, the game was way too physical, the way they were pushing Luka around earlier in the game. I don't see that happening again. I think Dallas will make an adjustment. I think this will be a good, close game once again. And I think, you know, everybody talks about, you know, it's just going to be easy. You know, Matt, we're going to come back and play Dallas again in game six for everything. Look, Dallas has got two guys that have been through the wars. One of them grew up through the wars in terms of Luka playing at 16 years old at Real Madrid against adults. I don't think they're going to flinch, really. I don't. Yeah.
And I'm not sure I see Kyrie Irving being denied back-to-back games either, the way that he's been playing the majority of this set. So that's where we sit right now. The spread 4.5, total 209.5. We'll talk more NBA a little bit later on in the show. But back to the NFL here. Want to continue a series that we started yesterday with NFL head coaches. Buy or beware, starting with Nick Sirianni. He talked at the end of last season about how he has to reprove himself, had that very important end-of-year conversation with Jeffrey Lurie and Howie Roseman, where he sold his vision and solutions to fix a lot of things that fell apart the back end of the season, where they went 1-6, brought in 9 new coaches in 2024, including Vic Fangio as defensive coordinator, Kellen Moore as offensive coordinator. They also, as a team, have been talked about as dominating the offseason, right? So, in your opinion, Nick Sirianni and the Eagles, buy or beware?
I think you would buy it. Look, I think everybody in the building in Philadelphia senses that it's win or go home. I think there's a lot of buildings like that. We talk about Mike McCarthy having the pressure in Dallas, but I think Nick has it as well in Philadelphia. But he's got a better team. Now, can he keep it all together? I think there's some conflict going on there because they're so sports science-based, meaning that they rely so much. They have practices, what they call red practice, yellow practice, green, meaning green's full go, yellow's caution, red we're not practicing, that their conditioning seems to always be a concern. And that's something that's not controlled by Nick. That's controlled by the sports science team. So I think that's going to be an issue, but they have such a good team. And if Hurts goes back to the Hurts we know, where they're running the football with Barkley, they're using the play-action pass, they don't have any weaknesses with their team. And I think Dallas has taken a step back. The Giants aren't going to catch them. They never have. They haven't won a division in 10 years. And I think Washington's going to be a growth team, learning as they go.
If you two are buying on the Eagles, plus 115 in the division, win total 10.5, you are getting a plus 105 on the over there. Okay, but you mentioned Dallas, so let's go down that road. Although it sounds like your answer is already beware, I'll still set the table. Mike McCarthy entering the final year of his deal, as does Dak Prescott. Micah Parsons is on my brain because he did not show up at OTAs today, so keep that in mind as well. CeeDee Lamb has his contract looming, and because the team is hamstrung by those deals, they weren't able to do anything else. So they lost a number of key pieces and weren't able to bring any new ones in. 3 straight 12-win seasons, but a strength of schedule that ranks 12th in the league and facing a 28-year NFC championship drought. Buy or beware on McCarthy and the Cowboys.
You know, it's sort of funny how certain coaches get such a bad rap. Mike McCarthy has won 62% of his games. Now, he's 11-11 in the playoffs, right? And he's won a Super Bowl. He's done more than most coaches that are in the Hall of Fame that have done. But you would never hear Mike McCarthy and the Hall of Fame in the same sentence, not with the public persona that holds him or the media's reaction to him. But I would buy or beware here, not because of McCarthy. Look, we know this. The fact is Dak had his best season with Mike McCarthy. Even better, I know you're sitting down so I can say this to you. It's not going to shock you completely. But he's even had a better year than he had with the great Kellen Moore. And that's remarkable in itself. I mean, the Sid Gilman of our generation that is able to get away with that. I mean, it's really remarkable. So, when Joystick is going, nobody's better play call than Joystick. So, look, I think this, I think the Cowboys overachieved last year as a credit to McCarthy. As a defender of McCarthy, I'm one of the few. But I don't think that with all the pressure on him, I think Mike Zimmer will make the defense tougher. I don't know if it's going to be better. It'll be more consistent. I don't think they'll have the many lapses that they had where Seattle moved it up and down the field on them. And then we saw Green Bay move it up and down the field. I mean, if you're an elite team and you just got a head coaching job with the Washington, whatever we want to call them, how couldn't you stop Seattle or Green Bay at any point in the game?
Well, and that's why there is a new defensive coordinator in tow as well. I know Dan Quinn ended up getting the job that he got, but there were a lot of questions that were being asked of the Cowboys at the back end of last season. Their win total, 10.5, is juice to the under, to your point. How about Dennis Allen? I feel like the Saints are a team that we haven't talked about a whole lot, and it's probably because they've been the model of mediocrity, though. Under Dennis Allen's watch, the Saints are 16-18. They've missed the playoffs back-to-back years, struggling to compete in a division that's been labeled as the easiest in football in the NFC South. Going into another year with Dennis Allen, a year with Derek Carr at quarterback, buy or beware?
You know, everybody's going to say beware. I'm going to say buy. And the reason I'm going to say buy hesitantly is they went into Tampa Bay in week 17 of last year, and Tampa needed to win the game. And they were able to go in there and dominate Tampa. I mean, they dominated Tampa. They moved the ball up, and they turned it. They turned Tampa over four times. They didn't commit a turnover. They won that game easily 23-13. If that's the team that we're going to see, the team that won four of the last five games of the season, albeit now they beat Carolina, they beat the Giants, they beat Tampa, and then they beat the world champion Falcons in the last game, but still they were able to win four out of the last five games. I just think, to me, this is a better team than we give them credit for. They'll be back on offense. They've made some changes with Clint Kubiak running the offense. I don't trust Carr when the games matter, right? He's like, to me, he's Ricky Fowler. When the tournament's over, Ricky will shoot 62. That's what worries me about Carr. But they're a good team. They have weapons. They can throw the football. If their offensive line, which is a concern, and they've tried to improve it, I think that we're sleeping on them a little bit, Stormy.
That is a fun statement, though, the comparison to Fowler, because he is kind of like that garbage time quarterback. When you see the way they lost, you're like, oh, they were terrible. But then you look at the stat line, you're like, how did Derek Carr end up with 300 yards? What? Win total sitting at 7.5. They're plus 330 exactly. In the division. You mentioned the world champion Falcons. New head coach Raheem Morris gets another shot as the head man. Obviously, they have a boatload of offensive talent. They bring in Kirk Cousins, and the expectations have just soared astronomically. They're a minus 130 odds-on favorite in that division. Should we buy or beware on Raheem Morris as his second opportunity as a head coach?
I think we got to beware. And I mean, I think everybody says they have this enormous talent. Look, Bijan Robinson's really good. Is Drake London an enormous talent? I mean, what would you rather have, Jennings from the 49ers or Drake London? Like, he just because he was a first-round pick doesn't make him an – and Kyle Pitts hasn't stayed healthy. I heard somebody on a podcast the other day complaining that Arthur Smith is a dinosaur, that he never played – you know, he never is in two – he never is in 11 personnel, that he's one of the few guys in the league that consist on running 12 personnel. Wait a minute. Timeout. TV timeout here. He's got Kyle Pitts. He's not a tight end. He's a wide receiver. He's in 11 personnel more than any human being on planet Earth because he had Kyle Pitts. He couldn't, you know, if you have Kyle Pitts and you're trying to run 11 personnel with three other receivers, who's blocking the edges? Who's helping? Nobody. That's why he puts Pitts as a receiver. It's this analytical stuff that it matters. The players matter. I don't see him as this most talented team. I think Robinson's really good. I think Cousins will take some time. I'm not sure the offensive line is great. I think there's no question about that. I think when you look at it, you know, they're 25th. They turned the ball over way too much last year. If they were so good, I think Arthur Smith would have gotten more out of them.
The expectation in terms of the odds is for them to have 10-plus wins and be a division champ. We'll see if they do it. 11-1 in the NFC, 22-1, those Super Bowl odds in the new regime. One coach we didn't get to that I do want to discuss a little bit later. We're resetting hour two of the Lombardi Line when we come back.